We're beginning a new series tonight, and the series is called Life, Death, Jesus and Me. And what we're looking at in this series is we're going right back to basics. We're going right back to basics, and we're looking at the big message of the Bible and what it means for us. The big message of the Bible and what it means for us. If you had to boil the Bible down into six main headings, what would you say the message of the Bible is for us? That's basically what we're answering. What's the big message of the Bible and why does it matter? And that's what we're looking at over the next 6 weeks. 6 weeks, we'll look at six central ideas. Then week seven, we come back and I think Ken has the privilege of just jamming it all into one talk, summarising it all into one talk in week seven. And so if you've ever wondered to yourself, what's the Bible all about? What's the big message? Why does it matter? This is a really great series for you. And I'd really encourage you to stick around if you can over the next 6-7 weeks because you will find that these talks build on one another. If you miss one, that's okay. Still come along. You'll still get something out of it. But you will find that these talks build on one another. It's building a big theme. And so you'll get the most out of it that way. Now, we've titled the series Life, Death, Jesus and Me. Sometimes this series of six big ideas is referred to as Two Ways to Live, but we're titling it Life, Death, Jesus and Me because in the end that's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is all about what Jesus means for you and me in life and death. Those are the big issues we're talking about. And tonight the place we're starting at is right back at the beginning where you would expect. And so we're going to go there. We're going to the very first chapter of the Bible and we're going to read the whole of the first chapter of the Bible and read what God has to say to us. And so we're in Genesis chapter 1. These are the very first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters," that's like the sky, "and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let there be lights." Did we just do that? Then God made, no? I think there, this is it. We doubled up a couple of slides. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and everything that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So there we are, chapter one of the Bible. That's how it all begins. What's the big message of the Bible from the very beginning? Well, the first thing that the Bible teaches us from the very beginning is that God is the loving ruler over everything. Over everything. God is the loving ruler over everything. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Okay, there's a bunch of different ideas about God out there, aren't there? Some people think of God as a kindly old grandfather. Other people think of God as a mean-spirited slave master. There's different ways that people think about God. I wonder how you think about God. Well, the most important thing for us is not what we imagine God to be like, but what he really is like. And from the beginning of the Bible, God lets us in on what he really is like. And what the Bible teaches is that God is the loving ruler over everything. Okay, God made the world, didn't he? The chapter just breaks it all down for us. He made the light, he made the skies, he made the seas and land and trees and herbs and fruit. He made the sun and the moon and the stars and so on. He made the abundance of birds, he made the sea creatures, he made the land animals and everything that creeps on the earth. And he made us, man and woman, in the image of God. And what the passage tells us time and time again, just in case we couldn't work it out, is that what God made was good. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Verses 17 and 18, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light in the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. That was a puzzle, wasn't it? And God made verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then the summary verse, verse 31, in case we hadn't worked it all out, God saw everything that he'd made, and indeed it was very good. Okay, you have to say that's emphasised, isn't it? You could have that God made a good world. And what God does is he rules his good world well. Okay, he made a good world and he rules his good world well. Okay, you can just tell as you read the passage, you can tell from the orderliness of creation. He separates land from seas. He makes sun for light during the day and moon for light during the night. He orders seasons and days and years. He makes vegetation, we're told in verse 29, that gives to this humanity food. It's very plainly this orderly creation. God rules his good world well. That's the point. You see, God from the very beginning is being portrayed as the loving ruler over everything. And in being the loving ruler over everything, what we're meant to understand unambiguously is that God is the loving ruler over us. Okay, God is our creator. He's made us. We read in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Okay, three times there, created, created, created. God has made us. He is our good creator. And we're meant to understand from that God is our loving ruler. He rules over us. Okay, if you go out and get some flour and eggs and butter and so on, and you make a cake, well, then the expectation is that you own that cake, don't you? It's yours. You're going to decide what's done with that cake, who gets to eat it, and so on. You make something, you own it, you're in charge of it. And from the very first chapter of the Bible, we're told that in the beginning, very first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that he created us. So God is the loving ruler of the world and of us, and what that means is that he's in charge of us. Now, our problem is when we think of rulers and someone being in charge of us, okay, it's true, we have all of this baggage, don't we? Particularly if we think of someone being a supreme ruler, we have all of this baggage because we think of the likes of Mao Zedong, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, Saddam Hussein, Robert Mugabe, Kim Jong-un, just dictators who ruled for themselves and were dreadful, dreadful people. Okay, just this past week, the president of Turkey has managed to gain just an unprecedented hold of powers in Turkey, and many, many people are very, very worried about what that's going to mean. We just have all of these reservations about supreme rulers, do we not? But what we're meant to understand very clearly here is that God is the loving ruler over everything. God is a good God who made a good world and who made you. He's the loving ruler over everything. Now, is that the way that you think about God? Is it the way that you think about God? Do you think about God as your ruler? Do you think about God as being in charge of you, as one who has every right to have expectations of you? Is that the way that you think about God? And if you do think about God as your ruler, my second question is, do you think about him as your loving ruler? One who's not mean-spirited, but is good, and who intends good for the creatures whom he has made. and who therefore, when he makes demands of us, is not doing so to oppress us, but actually because he intends these things for our well-being. Is that the way that you think about God? God is the loving ruler over everything. And what we're meant to understand is that we were made to rule God's world well under him. You see, God is the ruler of this world, but he has actually granted us the privilege of being caretakers under him. He wants us to rule his world well under him. We see that in verse 26. It says there, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' And further down, 'And God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" You hear the dominion, you hear the subdue, you hear the over, 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 over. God has created us, man and woman, to have dominion, to be rulers over his world. God's made us in his image. There are ways in which we are like God. And what God wants us to do, like him, is to rule his world well, to be good rulers. You'll notice the image that I have to the side of the screen up there. Okay, the side of the screen up there, that image is summary image of our talk, okay? And what it says is that God, the crown at the top, God, the crown of at the top, has made the world, and he has made us to rule this world under him. We are like caretakers of God's world. And what that means is that we need to live well in relationship with the world around us. We need to live well in relationship with others, because others are also his created beings. Other people are part of God's creation. And we need to live well in relationship with God, because he is over us and he sets expectations for us. Now let me just talk a little bit more, thirdly and finally, about living in relationship with him. You'll notice up in verse 26 it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness.'" We've been made in God's image. It says it again in verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." You see, there's something about humanity that is said about humanity that is not said about anything else in all of God's creation. Okay, it's not said of the sea creatures. It's not said of the birds. It's not said of the land animals. It's not said of anything else in all of creation. As marvellous as all of those aspects of creation are, it is never said of them that they are made in God's image. But of humanity, it is said, we are made in God's likeness. And that's why we can actually have a relationship with God. Okay, one of the big differences between animals and humans is that we human beings worship, don't we? We've got a pet cockatiel, actually, just got another one. And it does some things that we do. It sings if it's happy. It bites if it's not happy. Okay, we don't do that too much, but It even wolf whistles. And again, we don't do that too much. And we didn't teach it how to do that, but it learnt from somebody else. But it even wolf whistles. But one thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't join us in family worship. It just doesn't do it. It doesn't read the Bible, doesn't pray. You just don't see animals doing it. Animals aren't religious. But we were made in God's likeness. And that's why, okay, we sense a need in our heart to connect with Him. Human beings were actually made for relationship with God. We were made in His likeness. And what that means is that we need to be responding to God and responding to what He's like. We were made for relationship with Him. And so I just want to ask you, are you responding to what God is like? Think about what we've been learning about God today. God is your loving creator. Are you responding to God as your loving creator? Do you praise God for being the good creator that He is? We read in another part of the Bible, Revelation chapter 4, 11, of the way that we are meant to respond to God like that. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Is that the way that you think about God? He is worthy. He is worthy of your all. He's worthy of everything. Do you have that kind of relationship with God? Do you see Him as the loving creator of everything? And also, can I ask you, do you actually respond to Him as your ruler? Remember, He's the loving creator of everything. Is that the way that you respond to Him? You see, God is our creator, and He has every right to expect us to treat Him as our ruler. Are you living with God as your ruler? Do you obey God as your ruler? Do you submit to Him? Do you live your life thinking, I know God is a good God, I know He's in charge of me, and so what does God want me to do in this situation here? He's the loving ruler of my life. See, are you living in relationship with God? See, there's many things that people live for in their lives. Some people live for money. Other people live for stuff. Other people live for friends. But the truth is, what we were made to live for is God. There was a great old theologian, Augustine. He lived in the 300s and he wrote this. He wrote, "You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in You." Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in God. We've been made for God. We've been made for relationship with God. Is that how you're living? And so let me summarise where we've been today. What we've seen is that God is the loving ruler of our world. He made a good world, and because He made it, He owns it, and He owns us. And He calls on us to live in relationship with Him, caring for His good world and caring for one another. Now, if you've turned on the news lately, you might notice that this world isn't quite as good as it's described in our passage for this morning. And so we're going to talk next week about why that is. But for the moment, can I just encourage you, you were made to live in relationship with God. And you were made to live with God as your good King. And so can I encourage you, if that doesn't seem like that's your present experience, that you're in relationship with God and that you're living with Him as your good King, if that doesn't seem like that's your present experience, I want you to know that you can have that. You can have that. You can be in relationship with God again through trusting in Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that in future weeks as we continue to work through the big message of the Bible.